Welcome to the Buckmaster Show and happy Columbus Day. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, along with producer Ed Alexander. I'm sitting in for Bill, who's enjoying the week off. Today is Monday, October 12th, 2015, and we are easing into the work week. Bill is here live each weekday from noon to 1 on KVOI AM 1030 The Voice. We live stream the show at kvoi.com, and you can get podcasts and archive of all the shows at buckmastershow.com. You can also find Bill on Facebook. Just type in Bill Buckmaster and you're there. He updates the page throughout the week. And this week you'll find some vacation photos on there from beautiful Oregon. It's a great time of year to be up there, and he's enjoying it. The show partners with several local media outlets, including TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, TucsonLifestyle.com, The Green Valley News, and The Sahuarita Sun, all of whom have links to The Buckmaster Show on their homepages. We get the week started with the Monday political face-off featuring the key issues on the political scene. And then at half past the hour, we're going to be talking to Laura Romero. She is the executive director of St. Andrew's Children's Clinic in Nogales, Arizona. And they've been doing some special things down there that she's going to be sharing with us. It is now time for the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom-framed mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and on Facebook, and at moesgallery.com. We welcome to the show John Munger. He's a Tucson attorney and former head of the Arizona Board of Regents and former GOP candidate for governor. John, how are you doing?
I'm great, Dan. So glad to see you again.
Great to have you here. If you'd like to join the discussion, you can call the KVOI live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. I don't know, John, if you are a football fan, but what'd you think of the OSU game?
It was so refreshing, Dan. You know, I think we felt this cathartic relief that to see Arizona play so well. I felt so sorry for them the prior week because, you know, they didn't have their quarterback, they didn't have their principal linebacker, center linebacker, and they played so well this week. It was really wonderful to see them play. I felt good for them.
Well, it doesn't take much to get over my head when it comes to college or NFL football, but I will say I did like this one. I had a friend from OSU who was down traveling with the boosters, and he said, hey, I'm going to be at your house after the game. Well, he showed up quite early because he left at halftime because he was so disgusted, which I suppose
is... I can see why.
Yeah, it's great for the Wildcats. So.
Yeah, that was great. It'll be good to see. I guess we play the Colorado Buffaloes next week, and as I understand it, and that'll be exciting to see. They're a pretty good team, so it'll be great. I also felt great for Rich Rodriguez.
Yeah.
He's a great coach, and I felt so sorry for him playing undermanned last week.
Yeah, and it's good to have a decent coach.
Oh, he's a great coach,
and we've got one just a decent guy. So, let's talk. Get into some of the issues. Tim Steller's column in the Arizona Daily Star on Sunday dealt with teachers and how we're losing them in Arizona due to low pay and what they perceive to be a lack of appreciation is really what his point was. There's lots of talk about how to raise pay, including a plan by Diane Douglas, who's the state schools chief, to use a budget surplus and the state rainy day fund. How do we get into this position, and how do we get out of it?
Well, I think one of the things that we've got to realize is that schools in school districts are not funded principally by the state. School district schools are taxable entities. They have their own property tax base. They have their own tax base. They have the ability to go to their constituents and raise money. So if they're short of money, they always talk about, they make it a political issue, and they say, well, the state should give us more money. Well, go to your own constituents and ask them for more money. That's where schools have traditionally been funded, and that's where they should be funded. The state has had a deficit this year, so it's been a big problem for the state. We've balanced the deficit. And if the school districts, as a separate taxable entity, want to raise money, they can certainly raise money rather than make a political issue out of it, talking about the legislature and the state. The state just doesn't have more money to add. I'll tell you one other thing that's interesting. Arizona schools are way below the national average in getting money into the classroom. Only about 52 to 54% of the dollars that go to schools in Arizona get into the classroom. The average national average is 65 to 72%. So we are not getting money into the classrooms. We have too much money going into administration, all kinds of things that administration do. I will tell you that you talk with the administrators, they're always off at a conference someplace. They're always off going to some seminar someplace. I would rather spend that money on the teachers in the schools.
Okay, we're going to, by phone, we're going to welcome to the show Paul Eckerstrom. He's the former chair of the state and Pima County Democratic Party. Paul, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Very good.
I had to come in by phone. Sorry about that.
No problem at all. That's just great. I don't know if you heard the opening here, but we're talking about Tim Steller's column from the Arizona Daily Star on Sunday, and it dealt with teachers and how Arizona tends to be losing a lot of them because of the low pay and lack of appreciation. And we're talking about how did we get into this position and how do we get out of it?
Yeah, you know, I heard what John was saying about, the percentage of money that's going into the classroom is lower in Arizona than other states. One, I would like to see what the other states are counting as classroom, because here we do not count as classroom spending. Buses to get kids there, cafeteria to feed the kids, the actual building structure to house the classroom, that's not considered classroom spending. That's all considered administrative spending in Arizona. And I think that is, a little bit, some apples and oranges are going on there. And the other thing I would say in terms of that percentage is we spend, among all the states, we spend the lowest per student among all the states. We're 50th, dead last in spending on students per student in the state, K through 12. And what that means is the lower you spend, the higher the percentage of, quote, administrative costs will go, because those buses still need to run. Those facilities still need to be maintained, the actual schools. And because there's less and less money, that means less and less money can go to teachers and class size in terms of keeping the class size down, because you still have all those facilities you still need to maintain that are, quote, administrative costs.
But Diane Douglas is talking about...
It's a little bit of a shell game
sure.
to say that. The second thing is we are the lowest funded per student in the country among the states. And, you know, and John is making the point that the state doesn't have any money to put in. They've always subsidized the school districts to a certain degree historically. And that subsidization has gone down. And if a school district did an override election, for example, they're only allowed to raise the amount of money they can get on an override election for a certain amount of time and for a certain increase, and is capped otherwise. You can't recoup a lot of the money that has been lost over the years. And if you want to see where we were 26th in the country in 1991 in terms of per student spending among the states. We are now dead last, and it directly correlates for the state pulling its funding from the school districts, because they had one tax cut after another over the last, since 1991. We have one-third the state income tax, for example, that we had in 1991, and we were in a high-tax state back then. We no longer have a state property tax at all, and we've also cut corporate tax to a large degree over this period of time, and as a result, the revenues just aren't there to properly fund our schools or do anything else in the state like build roads and maintain roads. And so that is the real crux of the problem. We don't have enough revenues coming into the state to be able to fund our schools properly.
What about using the state rainy day fund to increase teacher pay? Let's just focus on one issue. I mean, the students are only as good as the teachers, and a lot of them are bailing out.
Yes, and every study says that a good teacher makes a huge difference in the classroom in terms of academic performance. And the second thing is not letting the class size get much over 25. Between 18 and 25 is optimal for classroom size for academic performance. And that's the two big things, and those things cost money. You need more teachers, and you need to pay good pay teachers a decent salary so we can keep the good ones working in our classrooms. And ultimately, this really boils down to, are we willing, you get what you pay for, are we willing to pay what it takes to have a good educational system like we once had?
Let me add some comments here. First of all, Paul, you question without any numbers whether our statistic that only 52 to 54% of our money is getting into the classroom. You don't know whether that's true or not. I'm using national figures, and the national figures are what they are. Now, if you can show those national figures is wrong, fine, but until you can show that they're wrong, those are the numbers. And the problem is the public doesn't have much confidence in the school districts that are only getting 52 to 54% of the dollars into the classroom. If you can show those numbers are wrong, fine, show me. But don't Paul, let me finish. Okay. So number one, those are national numbers. Number two, one of the reasons that Arizona uses less money for schools is because we have charter schools. And as many of your people do not know, when a charter school gets money from the state, it does not get any money for school facilities at all. It only gets money to teach the teachers. So with the larger the number of charter school students going to students going to charter schools, you have less and less money that the state needs to pay because the state is not paying for those structural brick and mortar facilities. So since we have a relatively large percentage of students going to charter schools, the state will naturally pay those charter schools less, and that goes into the total number per student paid. You don't, with a charter school system, which many states do not have, you do not need to pay as much money in. But the real problem, Paul, is not a state problem. The real problem is the school districts have found it politically expedient, instead of raising their own taxes, which traditionally has been the way schools have paid their money, they have chosen instead to go after the state legislature, which only has ever been a subsidizer of local education, instead of raising the money themselves. Why don't they raise the money themselves? Because the people in their own school districts don't have any confidence in them because they're not getting the money into the classroom.
Okay, John Munger and Paul Eckerstrom, no, we've got so many topics we want to cover here. This is a good time to take a break. This is the Monday Political Face-Off, and we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you tired all the time, finding it hard to lose weight or get results at the gym? Maybe you've lost the desire to exercise at all. We may be able to help. At Epic Health, we do a free health screening worth $1,600 that screens for testosterone levels, vitamin deficiencies, various cancers, and a lot more. Epic Health is located at Grant and Swan at Crossroads East by Outback Steakhouse. Call 448-0401 or visit epicmenshealth.com. That's E-P-O-C-H, menshealth.com. Real doctors, real medicine, Epic Health.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and on Facebook, and at moesgallery.com on the web. We are with John Munger and Paul Eckerstrom, and as always, if you'd like to join the discussion, you can call the KVOI live line at 790-2040, and on the live line, we have Noah. You had a comment about education.
Yeah. First of all, the numbers are wrong, and if you're going to fight about education, at least use correct numbers. State auditor says it's 52% for the state, 62% nationally. That's the numbers you go by. That's an apples-to-apples comparison.
And that's the money going into the classroom?
Yes.
Okay.
And to be fair, the governor changed all those because he didn't have the political will to force more money into the classroom, and now he's just changing all the numbers to be much higher. So next year, most of the school districts will show 62 to 85% in the classroom, but bus drivers and teacher development isn't in the classroom. And the fact of the matter is, you can't actually say that the locals are required to, because Bishop versus Roosevelt changed the rules, and so the state has to fund it. But the fact of the matter is correct, that John Munger's original principle is right, that the local districts aren't putting the money where it's supposed to be, but the Star and other places will never call them out on it.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Noah. Good stuff. Paul, we're going to throw this one at you. We're going to move on to another topic here. Depending on whose numbers you're quoting, Bernie Sanders drew 10 to 13,000 people Friday night in Tucson. What do you think of this guy?
Well, you know, I have to say his message of economic justice, where we have such a high concentration of wealth in this country, the middle class is suffering, our economy ultimately will suffer, because if you destroy the middle class, if you destroy the people who buy products and keep the economy going. And I think his call for things like tuition-free college and junior college, so that our students don't come out, get well trained, but don't come out with crushing debt, basically a house mortgage or something of that nature, when they get out of school. We'll encourage people to get better degrees in our hard sciences and engineering, which we need to do to compete in the new technological economy around the world. I think that message is resonating, where, you know, wages are stagnant in the middle class is shrinking, and if we need to somehow figure out a way to make sure that their people are well paid so that they can be good consumers in our consumer-driven economy. And that's what is driving Bernie Sanders' campaign, and why I think Hillary Clinton is starting to move towards some of those similar, and maybe not as far as Bernie Sanders, but similar programs to help alleviate, for example, the cost of colleges for students and things of that nature. It is the middle class that's very angry right now about what's happened to them over the last decade.
Do you think he's a real...
The right as well. I think the right is also showing that they don't want establishment candidates who are bought and sold by the very wealthy in this country. And that's why you're seeing Donald Trump and Dr. Carson doing better on the Republican side than a lot of the establishment.
Yeah, you're right about that, Paul. We all share that concern about the collapse of the middle class. The question is not... we don't, any of us disagree on that. I'm as concerned about it as you are. The problem is that we differ on how to solve the problems. We've had 7 years of Barack Obama, and middle class incomes have dropped by $2,000. It's gotten worse, not better, under liberal programs. The answer to, and Bernie Sanders programs will result in, he's talking about taxing the highest tax rates at 90%, and he's talking about spending $18 trillion, which will double our already outrageous debt. And all he's going to do is impoverish the nation doing that. The answer to making people wealthy in the middle class is to create jobs. And you don't do that by raising taxes on the people that are creating the jobs. That isn't to say that there isn't some tax modification to do, because there is heavy-duty tax modification to do. But the answer is not to raise the taxes and spend trillions of more dollars that we don't have, that we have to borrow from the Chinese to get this job done. The answer is to create jobs. And you know, I'm very concerned. The Democratic Party today is not the Democratic Party of John Kennedy. It is really what Bernie Sanders very honestly says it is. He's a socialist. He's not a Democrat. He's running as a Democrat this time, but he claims that he's a socialist, and he is. What we've got now is the Democratic Party is going off the deep end, supporting a socialist candidate with a heavy group of people, and that's the way the Democratic Party is going. And Hillary Clinton, you're right, is going that way. It's the last thing we need. Barack Obama, with these same kind of policies, has only made it worse. Let's have a change. The definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing you've been doing and expect a different result. And that's what your candidates are doing.
Actually, you know, Barack Obama has not been able to change the basic economic situation in terms of what's happened to the middle class since Ronald Reagan was in place and trickle-down economics was played.
Well, it's actually gotten worse under Barack Obama.
We've had a high concentration of wealth. And I'm not saying that Barack Obama has fixed this. He hasn't.
He's made it worse.
And I'm not saying... But what I'm saying is trickle down economics is what we've been doing for the last 30 years, and that has been, you know, it's only caused a concentration of wealth to the very top, and the money isn't trickling down to the middle class because of basic greed by the very, very wealthy in this country, and they've been able to buy Congress and frankly buy Democrats as well as Republicans, and that's why Bernie Sanders' message is resonating, because he's been there on these issues from the very get-go. He doesn't take big contributions. His average contribution in his campaign is $31 from regular people. And so what you're seeing is a very angry middle class that has been hurt by Republican policies of trickle-down economics over the last 30 to 40 years. And ultimately, the middle class has to decide who to blame and who to elect that will fix the problem. And I think Democrats need to get on board with the same message that Bernie Sanders has been putting out there, that Elizabeth Warren has talked about, and now Hillary Clinton is
talking about some messages.
It is outrageous that I could get a college education for less than $1,000 a year in Arizona, where our Constitution says it shall be as free as possible for a person in the state to get a college education, and my daughter now is going to the University of Arizona for $12,000.
And who's and Paul? Paul, let me tell you, you and I
cut over and over again by the Republicans in the state.
Paul,
very wealthy.
Paul, let me tell you this. You and I don't disagree that there is a cabal between Wall Street and Washington, and that's got to end. I frankly have some empathy with the Occupy movement. A lot of those people were anarchists and anti-capitalists, but their concept is correct, that there is a cabal between Washington and Wall Street. It affects both parties, and it's got to end. And that's why we have non-traditional candidates doing so well, is people are tired of that cabal. That has to end. And I will grant you, there needs to be taxes, for example, on the hedge fund people. They need to be taxed like everybody else. That's a given. But overall, for the middle class, the answer for the middle class is to create jobs. You can call it trickle-down economics all you want. I call it capitalism. And capitalism works, Paul. Capitalism has created more wealth than any other economic program throughout history. And if you want to kill capitalism, you are killing jobs, and you're going to kill the middle class. So
we're not talking about killing capitalism.
Yes, you are. If you're going to elect a socialist, you are by definition killing. Paul, if you're going to elect a socialist, you are by definition against capitalism.
Okay, gentlemen, let me break in here. One question for each of you, and then we're going to end this. We have gone over a little bit, and that's okay. John, for you, since we talked about Bernie Sanders, we have to ask about Donald Trump. He fared well in three polls released last week in key states, and then again in a CBS poll released on Sunday. My question for you, though, is Donald Trump peaking too early?
No, that's like saying, is Hillary Clinton peaking too early?
She did last time.
Donald Trump has a very solid base. Donald Trump is for real. And the interesting thing is he's learning. He's never done this before. And he started out, it was a little rough around the edges. You listen to him today, he's got some very positive things to say on the very issues we're talking about. He is for taxing the hedge fund managers. He is for creating jobs. He's for getting jobs back from China and Mexico and all the other places we've lost jobs. That's the way to create middle class wealth in this country, is to create jobs. Donald Trump is for real. He may or may not win, but he's for real.
Okay.
I know the press, and I'm not talking about you, Dan. I know the media would love to see him go away because so many people in the media disagree with him. He's for real. And I think he's got a better than 50-50 chance of winning the nomination.
Okay, very good. Paul, Tuesday night we're going to see Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders on stage together in the first Democrat debate. We're also going to be seeing Martin O'Malley, Lincoln Chafee, and Jim Webb. And if those are new names to anybody out there, nobody is surprised because everyone's been focusing on Clinton and Sanders. Any expectations, anything we should be looking for as we watch that debate Tuesday?
I think you'll hear Hillary, who's already starting to adopt some of these programs to help the middle class, especially on education.
That is moving left, spending more money.
A little bit left, exactly. And then I think you'll also see Jim Webb is a person to watch. And he may not win the nomination, but he could end up being a vice presidential nominee. He's from Virginia. He's got a very strong record at being in Reagan's administration as Secretary of Navy, a war hero in Vietnam, very strong on foreign policy. But he's from a swing state, Virginia, where he'd been the senator. But he's talking about these populist messages as well, that we need more economic fairness in our system, and we need sentencing reform in the criminal justice system, which seems to be very bipartisan at the national level, and I think that's a good thing. But Jim Webb is somebody to watch in the debates and see if he can break through and start gaining some traction.
Okay, yeah, excellent. I agree with you. Jim Webb, frankly, in terms of ability to win elections, Jim Webb is their best candidate.
I don't disagree with you, John.
He's Kennedy-esque.
He's somebody to watch.
He's Kennedy-esque. He's not a radical. He's much more middle ground. And it'll be interesting to see whether Jim Webb can gather behind him the moderates in the Democratic Party and take the Socialist Democratic Party away from the socialists.
Okay, very good. That is going to wrap it up for this week's Monday Political Face-Off. Always interesting. I'd like to thank John Munger and Paul Eckerstrom. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Laura Romero, Executive Director of St. Andrew's Children's Clinic in Nogales, Arizona. They've got some great stuff going on. We will be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Can we just talk? I want to talk to you about cockroaches. Yes, cockroaches. And their buddy, the scorpions. You know, if there's something that drives me up the wall, it's a cockroach. And it's not something people talk about. But we didn't just talk about it, we did something about it. We called Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Discipline and drive aren't on the shelf at the corner store. They're a part of who you are and the business you're building. We get it. That's why Cox Business and Inc. magazine invite you to attend Get Started Tucson. Join us for this free one-day live event Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. This is your chance to network with other innovators and entrepreneurs. to learn from experts on how to secure funding, and to watch contest finalists pitch their big idea for a prize package worth thousands. Visit coxblue.com/getstartedtucson to reserve your spot. It's free to attend with complimentary drinks and hors d'oeuvres. Don't miss Get Started Tucson, presented by Cox Business and Inc. Magazine. It's Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. RSVP today at coxblue.com/getstartedtucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. I'm joined now by Laura Romero, the Executive Director of St. Andrews Children's Clinic in Nogales, Arizona. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Yes, and we are not going to fight about politics.
No, we're not.
Yeah, very interesting to listen to, but yeah, sometimes you just want to watch and not be a part of it, but those two were great. Last week, I had the sincere privilege of heading to Hermosillo, Mexico for an annual event that St. Andrews helps hosts and carry off. Give us a rundown of what was happening down there, and then we're going to get into the broader mission of St. Andrews and their monthly clinics in Nogales. But once a year down in Hermosillo, what happens?
On the first week of October, four groups come together, meaning Children's Surgery International, CSI, team of surgeons from Minnesota and other parts of the United States, St. Andrews Children's Clinic from Nogales, Arizona, SEMA Hospital in Hermosillo, Sonora, and then also SEMA volunteers from Hermosillo, Sonora. We all come together so we could have what we call our cleft palate, cleft lip mission, where we help children with perfecting their smiles is what we say, and helping them, giving them a better quality of life. So on the first day, we have a screening of 98 children, which this year we've topped off with 115.
Wow.
We had walk-ins. And then out of those 115 children, 48 children were programmed for surgery. And last minute changes, we were lucky enough to be able to do 51. So we were very fortunate this year.
Yeah, it was a terrific effort, and I learned an awful lot about cleft palate and cleft lip, and this is so much more than cosmetic, and also it is not just a one-time surgery and you're done, and that really struck me. So let's go back to the original part. It's not cosmetic. For some kids, if the mouth is not formed correctly, it affects their nutrition.
Correct. They could be very malnutritioned. We had a case this mission where we had a little boy who was 5 months, my 5 months old, and actually looked 2 months old.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't obviously a candidate for surgery, but we are going to follow up with him throughout the year to get him to a very a good weight for surgery and a good nutritional place. It's not just one surgery. There's some children, you know, that it's just the cleft lip, and that's it. But there's other children that require more surgery and orthodontical work.
Right. And I talked to a couple of people who had been through five, six. One young man, I think, was even there for his seventh surgery, and he was 17. And you do this for, is it 18 and under?
Correct.
And so by that point, he was at the point where it was cosmetic, just kind of getting some, you know, last-minute fixes and everything. But you do bring up, in talking about this child's weight, why all 115 of them couldn't have surgery. What prevents?
Various things. It could be that they're not at the right weight, the right age. Some of them, we had newborns, so we have to wait at least until they're 3 months old for a cleft palate. For a cleft lip, they have to be 2 months old. Some of them, they've had a previous surgery, maybe a year ago, and they still have to wait 2 or 3 years until they're palate develops a little bit more so they can follow up with a second surgery. Some of them need orthodontical work, so that takes time as well, 1 or 2 years. But we want to see them go through all the surgeries necessary for them to be as, you know, as normal looking, what everybody would like to see. But see, that's the unique thing about this mission. We do more than one surgery. we give speech therapies as well throughout the year. And we follow up with the families. So we just don't come to this mission, do a surgery, oh, and goodbye. No, we keep following up with the families.
Right, and you could see that even some relationships had been built as I walked through the corridors and was talking to people. And it's quite an event that goes on down there. And it is, and I was saying before we started here, that it's like an orchestra. You're just kind of, you know, one thing after another, and it was all really beautifully timed. But it's almost, I think I used the term when I was there, organized chaos. But I did have a question from a friend I thought was really interesting, and it was, why does there seem to be more cleft palate, cleft lip in Mexico than the United States? And really the truth is that there isn't necessarily. It's just that we take care of it quicker, and you don't see it.
Correct. There's more opportunities here in the States to have that taken care of. A child here in the States is born with a cleft lip or a cleft palate, and right away, you know, the mother is able to seek help. There's insurance out there that can help with the expenses because it's very expensive to do so. Down in Mexico, resources are very scarce. I mean, there's nothing really much out there available. Monies are very tight, and some of these families are left with the option of, do I put dinner on the table or do I take my child to see a doctor?
Absolutely. I am joined by Laura Romero. She's the executive director of St. Andrew's Children's Clinic, and we're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the larger mission of St. Andrew's down in Nogales, Arizona.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, and Bill is on vacation. In case you haven't figured that out, he's going to be gone all week. I am joined by Laura Romero. She's executive director of St. Andrew's Children's Clinic in Nogales, Arizona. We've been talking about their annual event down in Hermosillo, Mexico, and I was able to experience that here just about a week and a half ago. Actually, last week, they did a lot of the surgeries. It's cleft palate and cleft lip. They do that once a year. It's a big part of what they do. They partner with SEMA Hospital down there and Children's Surgery International out of Minneapolis. Who, Laura, exactly, and you said you had 115 children who were seen or assessed, I guess, at this event, and then you ended up having 51 surgeries. Who are these people who are coming in? How do they find out about this?
Word of mouth.
Yep.
Really, word of mouth. We don't advertise. People just know, and they know it's always the first week of October. A lot of the families came from all over Sonora, like Hermosillo, Altar, I mean, very rural areas around the big cities. Some of the families, like I mentioned, were 48 programmed to get surgery, 48 children, and we had a couple walk-ins because they didn't have the money to get in before during the day evaluation. So they got money from friends and family, and they bought their bus ticket to get there. So their children did have surgery, so it's nice.
That's terrific. And then when they get there, they are actually well taken care of.
Correct.
And where does all the money come to fund this?
Fundraising on our part. Grant writing, individual donors, churches, organizations, anybody who wants to pitch in.
Yeah, absolutely. And a terrific effort down there. And what we're going to do in the Green Valley News is, I was down there, I talked to several families who I'm going to touch base with on November 5th, which is the next clinic down in Nogales, Arizona. And we are going to talk now about the broader mission of what goes on 11 months out of the year in Nogales, Arizona. I think you guys take July off. But what happens down there, and how long has this been going on?
This has been going on for over 40 years. St. Andrew's Children's Clinic started with a child with cerebral palsy and grew up with, and then it started, it was a group of seven. Now we see 250 children the first Thursday of the month, except the month of July. It's our month off, like you mentioned.
Right.
But we have volunteers coming from Tucson, Phoenix, from Spokane, Washington, and Sacramento, California, Shriners hospitals that have come down to evaluate our children at a church in Nogales, Arizona, St. Andrew's Episcopal Church.
And these are all children from Mexico.
Correct.
Who come over for the day. And again, it's a huge volunteer effort, and it is not cleft palate, cleft lip. It is about everything else, though, it seems like.
Nutrition, orthopedics, orthotics, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, I could go on, pediatrics.
Vision.
Audiology, everything you can think of, we try.
And it,
cardiology, dermatology.
It is quite something to see, and I know you have a lot of volunteers out of Green Valley, and actually St. Andrews is based out of Green Valley. That's where the offices are, right?
Correct. The administrative office is in Green Valley, Arizona. But the day of clinic is in Nogales, Arizona.
Okay. And talk about the volunteer effort that goes on to pull off the clinic. And I've been to it a couple of times, and it is something else. It is busy. And to see these families standing in line, knowing that this is their only hope for their children.
The families is who usually make the biggest sacrifice just to get to the border. Our volunteers plan their work days around the first Thursday of the month. We have volunteers that have been with us for over 20 years, some 40 years. It's amazing. Everybody comes together, and like many people say, it's chaos that works. Everybody knows where they're going, what they're doing, and every child that day gets seen. Nobody leaves without being seen.
Right. And again, go back to these families, and I've had some people say, you know, well, aren't there American children who need help? Well, of course we know that there are, but imagine being in a somewhat rural village, and there is absolutely zero help, zero opportunities, no clinics, no access program, nothing. That's really what we're talking about here. I mean, it's the poorest of the poor in a lot of cases, and they cannot get this type of help in their country for one reason or another. Is that accurate?
Correct. That is right. I know there is a need everywhere, you know, not just in Mexico, but also in the United States. But again, the mission of the clinic is to help the children in Mexico, living in Mexico, try to give them the opportunity to a better quality of life that they can't get it in Mexico. There's no way. I mean, we do a thorough investigation on the family before they're seen, but we're their last hope.
Right, absolutely. And again, you see these real young couples there who, you know, maybe 19, 20, 21, they've got a baby and they have nowhere to turn. And that's really what it amounts to. Tell us your mom's involvement in this and how it stretches back for decades.
My mother, my oldest brother, Ray, was born with cerebral palsy. So when she was living in Nogales, Sonora, there was no help for her and my brother. Everybody kept saying, you know, that's how he was born, deal with it, and that's all you can do. My mother, being the fighter that she is, she kept looking for help and finally ran into a physical therapist and said, you know what, I can come and give therapy to your son. And if you can gather more children that you think could benefit from this, we'll meet once a month. And that's how it started, with 7 children. And then, you know, I have a friend who is an orthopedic. He can come in too and see them. And that's how it slowly started growing. So, I mean, my mother, this is her passion. And I completely relate to it because of my brother.
And it was terrific to see her at the clinic down in Hermosillo. And at one point, all of this was taking place in Mexico, and then it moved to north. Is that accurate?
Correct. The first couple of years, it was happening in Mexico. But because doctors weren't allowed to work in Mexico, even if though it was volunteer work, it just created a problem. So they said, fine, we'll move the clinic to Nogales, Arizona. So we moved over and we kept doing our work.
And St. Andrews is a functioning church.
Correct.
They just give it over once a month, and you guys certainly do go in and take over.
Correct. We transform it completely. We use hallways, we use closets, we use offices, anything that there's a space available, we'll fill it in.
On a day of clinic, how many volunteers you have down there on site?
On site, I have approximately maybe 80 to 100 volunteers.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. And then down at SEMA Hospital in Hermosillo, how many medical staff were there and how many volunteers overall to pull off something like that every year?
Okay, the CSI team usually comes around 18 volunteers. That includes the surgeons, nurses, and their clerical people. And overall, I'm going to give you an estimate because there were a couple. I'm going to say we were around 40 to 45 volunteers.
Okay, very good. And also, back to the Nogales, Arizona clinic, you guys have a partnership or an understanding with the Border Patrol that, or Customs and Border Protection, that frankly gets these people over quickly. So they have been very helpful in this whole process.
Well,
too.
Actually, they're key.
Yes.
Okay. They are key. Because of them, we were able to do this. If it weren't for Border Protection,
yes,
we wouldn't be able to do this. They are actually, they even volunteer their time early in the morning to process the humanitarian passes. And I want everybody to know that everybody that comes in leaves. Nobody stays. They're so thankful and so grateful that their child is getting seen by a specialist that they really do go back to Mexico. So I know that's a big question people ask me, and I just want everybody to know everybody's so responsible.
Absolutely.
And because of them being so responsible, that's why we keep going and we have that relationship with Border Protection.
And Laura, if people want to learn more about the work at St. Andrew's Children's Clinic, where can they go online?
They can go to our website, which is www.standrewsclinic.org.
Okay, very good. And I want to thank Laura Romero. She's the executive director of St. Andrews. She has been talking to us about their annual clinic in Hermosillo and the monthly work down in Nogales, Arizona. I want to thank all of you again for being with us. Here's hoping you have a great rest of your day.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.